Welcome to A Course in Miracles. You know, A Course in Miracles is it's a bunch of words. Everybody, this is Bruce and Lee. Yeah, I totally got that for life. You know I have that for life.
Bruce Lee?
Yeah.
Bruce Lee. We're a famous person to get it.
Yeah, that's great. And Bruce and Lee, this is everybody.
Hello.
So, A Course in Miracles is a bunch of words. I mean, there are 497,000 words in this book. A lot. There's no pictures. It's just like a big, fat tome that's describing really only one thing. There's really only one essential metaphysical task A Course in Miracles has. And anybody who starts to read it starts to feel the level that this book is pointing at. It touches my heart and my mind at the same time with this one task. And the words are clumsy to talk about this one thing. Back in the book it says, words are but symbols of symbols. The word means something, and that something is also something that's been thought of. So the words are symbols of symbols. So they're twice removed from reality. But it's our meeting place. We're doing better with them all the time. This is about the best collection of words on this very, very difficult to speak of topic I've ever found. Now, we're in chapter 19. And the topic that we're starting to dance around, don't face it too closely, you scare everybody away. Or they wouldn't believe it and throw the book out. But we're starting to talk about healing. We're talking about sickness. And in chapter 19, it puts these two words together at the same time just to sort of mix you up and challenge you. Faith and healing. So this is what we've been working on for the past several weeks is both of these words. Faith, sickness. But, you know, they're just vectors. You know, they're just ways to talk about this one very, very difficult to put into words thing that we're all here for. Sickness, healing, faith, forgiveness, miracle, love. These are all just vectors to talk about the one very difficult to put into words thing. Any teaching, kind of, I don't know, helpful? Probably helpful is a good word. If you're describing something that's difficult or not, you know, very known or even rejected by your student, hard to talk about, rejected, not even a comfortable subject, then a teaching method is to speak of the opposite of that which we're going to discuss. A lot of times the opposite is easier to grasp. Because if you don't know the goal, you probably know where you are now, right? You know, the opposite of going to Los Angeles is staying right here, or going up north to Canada. All right, what do you mean? You obviously mean Los Angeles is south, and it's Sometimes the opposite helps. We talk about love. Oh, geez, who's going to write about love? Who's going to tell us what love is so that we all know? I don't know. But I can tell you, I volunteer to do hate. Oh, I can do fear, really. Great. Easy. The opposite of love is so easy. So it's a teaching method, right? To show contrast. It's called contrast. Of Course in Miracles does a lot of it. In fact, if you spent some time with this book, you're probably well aware how much this beautiful, wonderful, promising, loving, spiritual book talks about the ego. Fear. Attack. Hate. special relationships that are actually so competitive, you're looking of some way to crush the other person you just said I love to yesterday. The Course talks about these things. Because that's what we know, that's what we're familiar with. It sure mentions the opposite in a way that grabbed my heart, grabbed my mind. So a big one in this book, I think, is when we talk metaphysics. There are metaphysics of this one thing that we find very hard to put into words, for which we are all here tonight. Metaphysics of it. And one of them is our word tonight. It's a vector. It's a way to discuss something. This impossible thing to describe. And it's the idea of time, see, is part of what this book takes on with double barrels, full speed. Time is discussed in this book in many ways, in very personal ways. Because time is indeed one of the blocks to the awareness of love's present. Time is a very specific burden of all those who live in a body, get hungry, have a job, responsibilities. You know when the rent is due or the mortgage has to be paid. I mean, there's some things we know about that. How many seconds or minutes it takes to do something. Time is a very specific burden. As a block to the awareness of love's presence, time works great. It's constantly coming at you. How long did you meditate? Oh, well, I meditated for about a whole hour. It was great. Oh, really? And then what happened? And I wasn't meditating as time took over. Yeah. Of Course in Miracles says that this whole world, it's an attack on God. Just to put it gently. Your body, your devotion to your body and to this world, it's an attack on God. Just like, you know, any opposite would be. Let's go the other way for our meditation, okay? Let's go the other way. Let's go up the staircase on time. Just for a few minutes, okay? Let's think about this. What does it mean? What is eternal? What does that even mean? Eternal. Eternal. What does that mean? Is there anything about you? Is there anything you know, anything you own that is eternal? Eternal. What does that feel like? Isn't there a feeling that goes with that? Eternal. What is this word eternal pointing to? What kind of things, you know, kind of qualities? If you're going to bring up the word eternal, if you're going to use eternal in a sentence, you're trying to evoke something. What is it? And if you would, please. Totally optional. You can just say pass when we go around the room in a few moments. Take a few moments now to pick a word or phrase that comes to you that qualifies eternal. What's one of the qualities of something eternal? And feel free to go spiritual on us. Or feel free to go simple and obvious. Just pick something. David, what's one of the qualities of something eternal?
Well, you have to be in the moment. Continuous moment. You experience it.
It's experienced in the moment. If it's eternal, it's also right now. I like it. Leap.
Unbound by time.
Unbound by time. Unaffected by time. Very nice. Bruce?
I think words that teach knowledge that are applicable by the masses. That would be my...
Universal?
Universal.
That would be something universal. Not specific for one application. Nope, it's universal. That's what stands the test of time, the test of the masses and all their varied needs. If it's eternal, it applies to everybody, everywhere, all the time, including right now. I like it. Stephen.
How if I know? Well, I'm with David. It's like a right now thing. Whatever limited access as human beings with a human brain that we might have to any inkling of an experience of eternal is how fully we can be present in the moment. And only there is there the access to the expanse that might be referred to as...
That's very real, isn't it? And that's Stephen's very practical. That's a very real way that, by God, eternal seems to have like a long time, you know, but for darn sure it's right now.
Well, oh, that's interesting you said that because I think the context with which I think of eternal is an expression of time.
Yeah.
Like eternal is forever, which is a time reference.
Uh-huh.
But it's not.
Yes.
It's the opposite of time.
It's beyond time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to ask you what eternal means. Just give me one piece of eternal in a second, okay? I'm going to ask you what is a quality of eternal in a second. Not yet. Because Kim's...
I need time to think about it.
Yeah, you don't get eternal amount of time to think about it. It doesn't apply.
Well, during the meditation, I was remembering the circle that you drew on the board, and you broke it up into segments, and everybody has the same segment, looks exactly alike. But if you connect that whole circle, and you are in the circle, which is no beginning, no end, it's all one thing, you're right there. And there is no time, there is no... Everything is eternal, and everything is always at that one point. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, because it's a no beginning, no end. That's right. And without any of those pieces, it's not a circle. It's something else, but it's not a circle.
Right.
So all pieces included make the discussion a circle. No beginning, there's no end.
And
if you think there is...
Your point on that circle is eternal. And it is everything, and everything is encapsulated in that. I mean, it's just everything.
Yeah, they're identically, they're identical to each other, and yet each one is distinctly different. They make up the one truth. Mm-hmm. Very good. No beginning, no end. If you think you're in something that has a beginning and an end on a circle, you just don't realize that it's a circle. Mm-hmm. The truth you don't realize. You're looking at one little facet, an arc. Mm-hmm. Little do you know that the rest of the circle's holding you. Yeah, good. Very good. Nick, what's the quality of you? Eternal.
Well, eternal can be a feeling when I know that whatever I'm doing now will come to an end. But it can also be a good feeling knowing that the end is much farther down the road than where I am.
There's a feeling to it, isn't there? There's a feeling. I think this word evokes a feeling. I agree, Nick. It really evokes a feeling. And that the preoccupation of some piece of time, like, say, a month, an hour, a year, a week, I'm giving you to the end of the week for that rent. Then the cops are coming. Eternal evokes a time, a feeling. Yeah. Walt?
One of the words I thought of is in. I-S.
Nice. Yeah. 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 Because eternal, not having a beginning or an end, you cannot escape it. It is. Something eternal is. Whether you like it or not. That's a beautiful quality of eternality, is absoluteness. It just is. It is. It is, by the way, is one of the great definitions of God. You know that old saying, God is, we cease to speak? The God thing is extra. Is. It's everything. Done. Done. Masako.
That's a tough one. it's everything and it's nothing at the same time. I don't know how else to explain it.
Let's talk about the nothing.
Talk about nothing? Well,
talk about how eternal is nothing.
Again, it's always a feeling that Andrew, it's tough. That's all I've got.
But you feel
it's
you feel that
everything and nothing.
You feel the everything. Does everybody feel the everything and feel the nothing? Which one do you want to talk about? Okay. The eternality of everything. Okay? Well, if we take something, anything, can it possibly disappear? Can some, a grain of sand on the beach out there disappear entirely?
Wow.
We can crush what?
In time,
well. We can burn it, right? The sun goes out and poof, right? But did you know that grain of sand has already done that once, at least, in order to be in this solar system? It's already been disappeared from some other planet that already went extinct by its sun. That's already happened. And well, yet, here it is.
Would disappearance be some function of perception, though?
Yes.
Because,
exactly. Well, metaphysics, is, baby.
Well, you know, once in a while, yes. I've had yes. the experience of, like, driving in the car, and all of a sudden, it's not, I'm not, like, seeing cars and human beings. There's just things. There's just the mental construct around identifying and distinguishing that as a grain of sand disappears. It just is.
Is it isness to the grain of sand? The components of the grain of sand.
And then as sand, as what we identify as sand, that disappears.
It's just a name for what it really is. That post there. I should pick something other than the post. You guys, somebody doesn't do enough. That post. Because we call it a wooden post. And wood comes from?
Trees.
Yeah. Okay, great. What kind of... Yeah, so we kind of go out to trees, and trees live in a
forest.
So we're getting bigger and bigger. But we're getting further from the post, aren't we? Let's just words, just terms. Let's come back the other way. The post is made of wood. Anybody here take any biochemistry?
Mycorrhizae? What? My instructor was a glossary paper on the mycorrhizae. He was the dean of the department. That was heavy, that controlled.
Does everybody know what the periodic table is?
Yes.
Okay, it's all the elements the science has been able to divide things into and put names on them. Oxygen, hydrogen, carbon, helium, so forth. Well, wood is not made out of all of those things. It's made out of just, you know, six or eight of them, really. That's it, you know. Oxygen, hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen. So, we call it wood, but it's really, and you can draw this out with pictures. You've seen the little atom pic, oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, a certain combination. And if somebody can look at the paper and say, oh, you've just drawn the, you know, wood has that balance of those things. In fact, there are billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of perfect carbon molecules in there. There's only one post, but there's billions of carbon. So really, is it more carbon, really, and nitrogen, oxygen? Really, isn't it more that than it is wood, which is a made-up term for a piece of a tree that we cut up into a lumber post? Really? Carbon? Okay, so what it is, its isness really is actually carbon, nitrogen, hydrogen. Yeah. Well, did you know that carbon, nitrogen, hydrogen, take anything including gold, platinum, on the periodic table, is only made up of, you know, in our words, three things. They're all the same. Every single element on an entire thing, whether you're describing a bumper on a car, this piece of wood here, are made up of what we call electrons, neutrons, protons, that's it. It's just more of them. And the more you get together, they're like one. Proton, electron, neutron, in hydrogen. In gold, there's 79. Well, and we can continue this conversation into particle physics, where we end up with a whole lot of nothing. So, it's really part a pretty grand illusion if you want to start hanging your hat on words and things you describe as is a piece of wood.
What is the human body?
The human body is very similar to that post. Carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen. It's another biological thing. It has a lot more water in it. Amazingly enough. It's about $36 in chemicals. The human body. You can buy a human body for that much.
No.
Yeah, the pieces. It'll become in buckets soon on Amazon.com. And it'll just be a bunch of plastic.
Delivered by a drone.
Yeah. But, you know, what's eternal about it is not that it's wood, is it? What's eternal about the sand is not that it's silicon, which happens to be on the periodic table. Maybe it's like number 93 or something. It's got a number. But that's because it's got atomic weight of 93. We could take it apart. We could use it to make something else on the periodic table. What's eternal? What's eternal about that post? What's eternal about your body?
Not much.
Not much, right? I mean, every 7 years, every cell in your body, except for a very select handful, is completely replaced. You know that? You are what you eat is literal. Your body actually replaces all of its cells. Skin cells, bone cells even. Even your bones get replaced many, many times in your lifetime. Whole thing, completely. You're not the same person sitting here as you were 7 years ago. Literally, you physically swapped around. What's eternal about that? What? Oh, right? This is a...
I see it's a connection to the universe.
So all or nothing. All or nothing is the path that we want to look at here for a moment. So eternal in the discussion of all. Maybe, perhaps, I say, everything you know, everything, okay, let's just talk things. Everything you know has got electrons in it. All of it. All of them, all of them, all of them. All of them. Protons, neutrons, too. All of them, everything.
period. I don't care what color it is. I don't care how old it is. So it's very simple that way, isn't it? Like all things, eternally, all things, everywhere you look, have this thing. Get into quantum physics, we can get a lot more eternal. And some of the laws of what all things do. But there's a feeling to, if you will, just go with me on this ride. It ends right here, okay? On the everything shares something in common. Even, you know, the other planets we've ever been to. You'll find the periodic table, more or less. There's a very common with you and your body. And that post. Get a feel for like how eternal you eternally search and you will find the exact same thing. How about nothing? I think that's even more interesting. Nothing. Because on the same vector, it's just electrons, protons, and neutrons that happen to come together under some pressure. And in this case, some nutrients and the right amount of sun and stuff, and it grew to a tree and it got cut down, and there you go. But still, underneath it all, it's nothing. It's nothing, just like a brick. If you go to Home Depot and buy a brick, it's just a brick, but it's going to be used to make something, right? Maybe it's going to make a barbecue, a well, a wall, and then it makes something. Building blocks. The periodic table are essentially nothing when you get down to what makes each of those things. A proton is essentially nothing. An electron is really nothing. We can't find them. We can't find electrons. I won't bore you with the science, but you know about this stuff, right?
Some.
In the effort to go actually trap an electron and measure it, it disappears. In the effort to measure the field of an electron, then the electron itself appears as mass. But we go to measure the mass, it only appears as a field. So it's very slippery that way. And we had to come across a whole new level of science to try to describe the simple electron. You see, what's true about an electron, it's more true that an electron is not there than that it is there. So it's really tricky stuff. When you go broad to the idea that everything is the same, it all has these three things in it, electrons, neutrons, protons, everything, then it's just nothing. They're all the same. Eternally, eternally, they are what they are. The is quality is not changeable in eternal. That's why we say God is and we cease to speak. Because when you try to say more, you're just wasting your words. And my little journey I took you through was just a way to feel. The way I did it, I kind of felt the very simplicity of every possible thing. In just these three little, tricky little elements. All of which share something else in common that makes it even simpler, but we're not going there. So that's how it's nothing. You show me something, go ahead, show me something. And if I'm a particle physicist, you bring me something I've never seen before, I'll say, but I can tell you what it is. Can't I? Can I tell you what it is if I'm a particle physicist? If I know the periodic table? A little basic chemistry. I don't even need to go there. I'll just tell you it's one of these combination of these three things. How many protons? Some, more or less. Some, more or less. Right? That's enough. That's enough for me to say nothing. That it's nothing. You brought me something that's temporarily something. It's a teapot that's rimmed with gold. Ms. Akram.
Okay. I thought about it.
Okay.
Alright. Alright, so nothing makes everything possible, and then everything makes nothing possible.
You guys feel that?
That's it.
You feel that? That's
now, where's the butterfly then?
Right? You feel the nothing quality of that a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, that's freedom.
Yeah.
When she says nothing there, thank you, Masako.
pretty bold. Go in there.
That was good.
There's a little bit of freedom there, and simplicity, and also universality. Oh my God, we could make everything. With this nothing quality, you could actually make anything and everything. You manage those protons, neutrons, electrons, make anything you want. Put 79 in the middle, 79 protons in the middle, crunching together with a huge amount of heat and pressure. Take that post and a whole bunch of posts, okay? A tractor trailer for the post. And if we took the neutrons out, protons out, and crushed them down, 79, it will be gold. Period. Because that's how you make gold. Because you crunch the protons together and they start to bond together and they call into themselves a balance. And it's heavy and it's kind of yellow and it's gold. The exact same protons that are holding the piece of wood together. It's really that simple. This is why chemists say it's all about chemistry. The eternal nature is very, very simple. It's actually nothing. I get a great sense of freedom from that simplicity. I say, okay, chill a little bit on all of these different flavors of things. I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. Very metaphysical, Misako. Thank you very much. Carol.
Well, I just keep going around and around with endlessness. And that God's love is eternal. Endlessness.
See, this is a very quality. And in A Course in Miracles is another one of the vectors that it knows it has to deal with. An end. Or loss or death. Take your pick, doesn't matter. But it ends. Complete and perfect contrast. God's love versus the special love. Anything of the world that's measured by worldly terms is not eternal. Therefore, it ends. We're talking about eternal. So if you guys want to work up a word, it's just a component of eternal. What's a quality of eternal? Yeah, the endless. It kind of breaks. Endless breaks the rules of the post, see? Because the post is slowly rotting away. It's giving off hydrogen all the whole time. It's the oxygen is insulting it and taking parts off it. Even as we sit here, it's less of a post than when we began. Wood doesn't last forever. Or the sun goes out and it all gets burned up anyway. As an end. Yeah. Mark, what's the quality of eternal?
What comes to mind is like something mysterious and unknowable. And I get this image of, you know, just like a very vivid image of something like, you know, that scene in 2001, A Space Odyssey, with that big obelisk out in space and, you know, like emptiness and just something that you have absolutely no idea what it is. And it's just like, it feels like it's been there forever.
Nice. Beautiful. Beautiful. This would have to be true from the perspective of, honestly, where we all are. We're all bound in time. Very, very much addicted to time and what it can do for us. And we watch out, we don't get hurt by ignoring time too much. You know, go ahead and meditate, but then eventually you got to go back to work or feed it or water it or something urgent. Eternal would have to be a mystery. It's outside the laws that operate here. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
A mystery to me, at least.
Well, to me, too. So we share this. We're talking about. So, for you people who've been in this meeting for more than a year or two, what is the, according to our meeting, what's the most honest thing your lips can utter, according to Course in Miracles and this meeting?
I know nothing.
Yeah.
I do not know.
I know.
Page 660, page 298, I mean, some of the workbook. I do not know is the most honest thing your human lips could possibly mutter. those lips that are bound in time, those lips that are bound in supporting a body. Yeah, yeah. Massive freedom comes when you can embrace the mystery of eternal and not be afraid. Be interested or intrigued or even willing to invest some truth that there is something eternal. Because from where we're sitting right now, with the best of our intelligence, the best of our equipment, our best minds, we don't know eternal. Can't point to it. We can point to the opposite. The death part, the loss part, the end part. A lot of things we describe in how long it takes for them to end, and that's how we appreciate it.
The other thing that I thought about is that, you know, like when you read about black holes, like if you go to the edge of the very edge, if you could go to the very edge of a black hole, supposedly, you're present at every point in time. Mm-hmm. And so that would be like being in at the point of eternal.
Because the linear completely is shot. The forces involved there make it that the linear means A, B, C, and then D, obviously, right? 1, 2, 3, and then 4. That's all very linear. It's shot. Yep. Yep. Ryan, what's the quality of eternal?
I was thinking about that. And I thought about one of the Course in Miracles statements that love only extends.
Ah.
I read something. It said that God was asleep and he shook. And a piece of his consciousness came on. And then another. And so it's like consciousness expressed by becoming a material form. It's eternal and it'll never go away. I've seen the experiment on television on some show and they had a person in this very sensitive glass, kind of like box, or and they had all these sensitive instruments on it, and they waited for it to die, and it was on sensitive, super sensitive scales, and they were measuring and monitoring, and it finally died, and it got light, and so that consciousness escaped some kind of way in that glass. It's like, he measured that and it left somewhere. Some way,
yeah.
They measured death and the spirit leaving.
Yeah.
And it's like divine intelligence going back to the source.
Yeah. Even though you can't see the connection, when God breathed out a little bit, he shook his head and a little bit of his consciousness went out, it still remains his consciousness.
Yeah.
It still is.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It still is. Even though it seems different. It is still what it is made of. Very simple. Very simple when you get down to it, isn't it? Oh, thank you. You see, separation would be highly complex. Somehow it could be real. True. You could take one thing and then you could have two things. But then the idea of one thing means include everything. Including the other two, the second part you thought you had is really part of the one. One has two parts. That's all. Still one. You know, to have separation really be real, that would be so complex, wouldn't it?
And so, to be still part of God, then you are still a creator.
Yeah.
In a sense. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And when I was watching the movie The Shack, And Jesus tells the guy, I don't want any slaves.
Yeah.
We're free to do as and create as we please.
Yeah.
Because that's part of God's character.
Yes.
He shook him. He created part of him.
Of Course in Miracles calls us brothers, you know. Yeah. He's God. He's trying to help you become something special. Jesus, we're brothers. He says, we're similar in such a way that all things that I do, you'll do too. In fact, greater, most likely, because you got the benefit of me helping you skip some of the ugly steps that I took. So you'd do great. The sooner you take over, the better, so I can go on vacation. That's not in the book, but essentially that's
in your book.
Marcia, what's a quality of eternal? What does it take? What are the things? You can, what's a quality of eternal?
What can be made that's true?
True.
If it's not true, it's not eternal.
Hello.
It's not lasting. And if it is true, then it is eternal.
Then it's eternal. That's how we tell something is really true, is it's eternal. If it's conditional, sometimes there, sometimes not, that's like luck. It's not the truth that I'm looking for. What the eternal truth? That's a quality. Yes. Better be, right? Don't stick. Truth or bust. Is that why we're here? Is everybody here for that? Everybody here for the truth? Did everybody come out of essentially a pretty slippery existence that seems to come and go, defying definition, defying consistency? Yeah, me too. I'm here for the truth. I want all of you to work with me to tease it out so we can all share it and then live it. That's why we're here.
Thank you.
Susan. What's the quality of eternal?
Well, I think it has to be looked at as opposed to time, when the purpose is fulfilled of time, then it will end, and so it is eternal. I think that means fulfillment, and just anything that's real, so that would be creation. But then that still gives me the idea that creation continues and continues without end. So everything you're asking about eternal seems like it's always against, from this perspective, what is not eternal.
Isn't that the perfect tease in our minds? Mm-hmm. Trying to stay within the feeling of eternal, which has a big time to it. And yet, most of us are really trying to get We're trying to get away from the obviousness that Susan has handed out to us. We're trying to get away, trying to get into, I don't know what the hell it is, but I know that there's a now quality. The only place I could possibly know it is now. I'm not going to be someplace in the future. That's falling there, right? I mean, it's like there's this obvious part of eternal that you cannot know because it's eternal. That means there's no end. So, it's like a circle. It's eternally being drawn. Well, how big is that? You can't really see it's a certain size because it's never done. So that's tough, huh? But it is. That's how we know it. Something that's eternal, it's not going to be broken. Yeah. Brian, what's the quality of eternal?
Beyond measure.
Yeah, there it is. Beyond measure.
So, in our mind, we like to rationalize, we like to measure, we like to pace. Yeah. And the eternity is something beyond our grasp.
Yes.
It's easy to find it as what it is not.
We just like what Mark said, that, it's a mystery, it has to be a mystery. It's beyond measure. You bet. The moment you describe it, so we say God is, then we cease to speak. To the moment you start putting words after God is blank, well, you're starting to limit it. Put a name on it, you limit it. You say the word gold or post. You guys have any idea what kind of food and insects and things that gave up their wings and their their hydrogen so that that tree grew. It grew for 60, 80 years, who knows? How many other things went into that being a tree? It's kind of a mystery. The factors are very, very mysterious. You got something for us?
I think the question is why we get stuck on that. Creation, one concept is it all somehow had a starting point and exploded, and over millions and billions of solar years, the cosmos has evolved. Where we happen to be in a little speck in time of the whole creation. And so I think eternal is a miracle shift from material creation to spiritual. And we see spirit and everything emanating out of spirit in the moment. Created moment by moment. That
looking at a small aspect of the spirit of something misses the big picture, but if you keep your eye on the eternal nature, like say the Big Bang, now we can focus on, well, and the way the story goes, once upon a time, there was nothing. But this little bang of everything, here's Misako's everything, it all started in this infinitely small thing that just exploded. And the story goes is that it's happened before and it will happen again. It goes Big Bang, and then you get the big, what do they call it? The big contraction? What's the other side?
Collapse.
The big collapse. They have another term for that. It all goes out, and then it all goes back, and then it runs out of energy. And it all sucks back into this infinitely small thing that gets so close together. And by the way, there's still the exact same stuff it started with. It looked so big. Became really, really small. The pressures of the laws that apply gravity crush it back together with bang again. They say, you know. But when you look at it from this perspective, it's like what A Course in Miracles does for us in that section called Above the Battleground. Wonderful section in this book, in the text. And it gives the contrast of what it's like to be in a battleground where it's you against the other one. You hide behind the tree, you take a shot, you run around, look out, don't get hurt. You know, advance the cause for your family. It's so personal when you're in the battle. But if you're above the battleground, you just see a bunch of ant-like people just moving around. You're not in person, you're not involved. You see the whole thing. There's a balance that suddenly occurs that can't occur when you're personally dodging a bullet. There's a balance that occurs that you can't have when you're so personally in it. The perspective of everything, or the perspective of nothing, or allowing the mystery to be true, even a little bit, allows you to escape all the limits of the known.
You're talking about the Matrix?
It's the Matrix. I love that. I dug that movie, you bet. Yeah, I had some Course in Miracles students over once, and we dug in on all three of those, and a big marathon was a problem. Yeah, it was fun. Wendy, do you have a feel? What's the quality of the eternal?
Well, I was thinking, the first thing that came to my mind was that it's true, because I thought about the beginning of the book, that nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists, you know, so it's everlasting, it can never be taken away, it's true, and it's never be threatened.
Oh my God, it's so simple, right? When she says it, it's so simple. She's talking about the first page of this book. It's just so simple at that point. If you can feel it without fear, if you can grasp it, if you got the absolute nature of just is, nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal actually exists. Herein lies the peace of God.
Yeah.
So let's get on with the real part. Let's get on with understanding what is actually eternal. Let's focus on that. Let's manifest that in our lives. Let's focus on that eternalness. And then the stuff that's not eternal, the stuff that actually is very flimsy, the illusions, it calls it, the dreams, it calls it. Let's not focus on those anymore, at least as much. And then maybe not at all eventually. So we can be fully true. That thing that's so hard to describe in words. Yeah. We have all of these qualities that we've talked about. This is kind of a test, if you will, for where your mind should be going. If you want to if you want to wake up to the truth, just for kicks, let's go look at one of the places. Nobody here is absolutely new to A Course in Miracles, so we don't have to lock the door tonight. Because this is pretty radical, what we're about to read. You know, but this book is radical. This book is, and radical just means kind of a shortcut, a steep path. You will go absolutely the entire journey with A Course in Miracles as you would with any other path. No such thing as an actual shortcut, right? The shortcut means steeper than the long cut. The long cut's nice and easy. Alright, I knew we should have locked the door. Okay, now, go to workbook page 245. Nobody say the lesson number because people will go to that page. So just go to page 245. Now remember, what we're talking about, what we're approaching, is sickness. The idea that there's something true that's sick, something valuable that's broken. The eternal, not broken. It's never missing. It's never lacking. It is. And if you think you see an end, you're not looking, you're too close. You're looking at a little arc of the circle. If you think you see an end or an edge, you need to see, get back a little bit to embrace this perspective of the true circle. So, how would you make a distinction? Eventually you get into this book, and now, you know, we're 245, so you're like 900 pages into A Course in Miracles. And the burning question is, but how do I know it's the Holy Spirit? How do I know that I'm actually, in my meditations, I'm calling in the truth? How do I know that the thoughts that I'm thinking are thoughts I think with God?
Because you feel peace.
How do I know it's valuable? Peace is valuable. Yeah, true peace is valuable. So, in this workbook lesson, it's, you know, the valuable versus the valueless. And when you get into the manual for teachers, when you finish the workbook, it's going to say, you know what you're doing is part of your development of trust in the is, part of your development of trust in the mystery, in the unknown. But of course it's unknown if you're a child and you've washed away the truth. Getting back to the truth means you're going to have to open your mind to things you do not know. Well, the Course says, you know what? We're going to go easy for you. We're going to separate the valuable from the valueless. I think that's a really nice teacher who lays it out like that. He says, I'm going to help you. That's what the workbook is for your mind. It's a mind training, it calls itself. On page 2, and in the beginning of chapter 1 also, page 15, it says, this is mind training. It's not how to build a big enough sign so that God will pay attention to you and make your life go bad. What?
I'm a blinking neon light.
Neon.
Yeah. It's not about learning how to Morse code with a mirror. into the night sky to call the Holy Spirit to you. No, this is mind training of your own mind, because your mind makes tonight, via an investment in time, your mind makes blocks to the awareness of love's presence right now. That's where the eternal is. That's where all your freedom is. The entire mystery has to be occurring right now, if it's eternal, if it's true. Your mind is making blocks to the awareness of right now. And time is a just absolute drug for that. To get out of the present moment, time is, you know, the way. That's your drug. Mm-hmm. Course in Miracles says, we're going to help you get a feel. So I wanted you to look at the feel of eternal versus the feel of limited. Carol says, endless. That feeling is a guide, peaceful versus anxious, toward what's valuable and what's valueless. This book actually takes on that impossible task. Takes it on beautifully. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Let's read through this lesson. In a little while, I want you to think, well, actually, we didn't really have to read through the whole thing. We're just going to read down to paragraph, I think it's 6. So, and then we're going to go back to our reading. So, go ahead now. Would you please, Rick, start with that?
Number one?
Yeah.
So, I will not value what is valueless. Sometimes in teaching, there is benefit, particularly after you have gone through what seems theoretical and far from what the student has... Isn't that right?
Hold on. Well, this is page 245 in the workbook. Yeah. Now, the book numbers start over 3 times. So, go to the middle of the book, you'll see the numbers start over again. That's where we are.
Workbook for students.
Yeah, it's a combined volume of several volumes. Flip another 500 pages to the right.
Bruce?
Okay. Workbook.
Where your finger is, flip 500 pages.
At 245.
Yeah, that's it. Now you're there.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we promise this message is simple, but then we start getting into the numbers. How simple? Okay.
This is very confusing.
Would you start over for us now?
Yes.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
I will not value what is valueless. Sometimes in teaching there is benefit, particularly after you have gone through what seems theoretical and far from what the student has already learned, to bring them back to practical concerns. This we will do today. We will not speak of lofty worldly, world-encompassing ideas, but dwell instead on benefits to you.
We do not ask too much of life, but far too little. When you let your mind be drawn to worldly concerns, the things you buy, them as values by the world, you ask for sorrow, not for happiness. This course does not attempt to take from you the little that you have. It does not try to substitute utopian ideas for satisfactions which the world contains. There are no satisfactions in the world.
I'm going to have to pass the light in this heart meeting. Number 3. Today, we list the real criteria by which to test all things you think you want. Unless they meet these sound requirements, they are not worth desiring at all, for they can but replace what offers more. The laws that govern choice you cannot make, no more than you can make alternatives from which to choose. The choosing you can do, indeed, you must, but it is wise to learn the laws that you set in motion when you choose
and what alternatives we choose between.
For we have already stressed there will be are but two, however many there appear to be. The range is set, and this we cannot change. It would be most ungenerous to you to let alternatives be limitless, and thus delay your final choice until you had considered all of them in time, and not been brought so clearly to the place. Where there is but one choice that must be made.
Another kindly and related law is that there is no compromise in what your choice must bring. It cannot give you just a little, for there is no in between. Each choice you make brings everything to you or nothing. Therefore, if you learn the test by which you can distinguish everything from nothing, you will make the better choice.
Woo! You gotta read that sentence again.
The sentence or the whole paragraph?
Start with the whole paragraph. What is he talking about here? What kind of clues, what kind of promises being made here?
Another kindly and related law is that there is no compromise in what your choice must bring. It cannot give you just a little, for there is no in-between. Each choice you make brings everything to you or nothing. Therefore, if you learn the tests by which you can distinguish everything from nothing, you will make the better choice.
I like this instruction.
That's good.
Because it's really simple. It's promising the powerful nature of truth that I have always hoped to find. You use this, it will always bring you something of value. You don't use this, you'll have nothing of value.
I can only use it, though, if you're with me at every moment of the day to decipher it for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, A Course in Miracles addresses that also, because, we got a competition between them. And it divides it up in really three ways. It says we got wrong thinking, which we're trying to boot. We got right thinking, which we really like, as we do here. We talk about right thinking here, and it's a correction. It feels strong. Yes. And all we're doing is we're going to the sanity. You couldn't even hear me if it wasn't part of your mind that could speak and know this truth. Mm-hmm. So we call this the Holy Spirit in this book. Mm-hmm. That piece of your mind that says, oh yeah. It just goes, oh yeah. It's connected to the allness. That's the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're both listening, speaking with, and listening with. And that's the joining place when the Holy Spirit hears itself. This is the holy instant of connection. Yeah, good. Yeah, thank you. The simple nature of what this paragraph just said, I love it. It also, though, the way it's so black and white, can seem a little harsh. But then if you're tired enough of the world and all the promises of the self-help books and just earn more money, and then the money will make everything good. And you just get the right spouse, and then they can do it for you. And I think I want something a lot simpler. If love is, it's going to be really simple. This paragraph is pointing at something very, very simple. I love that authority at which it makes this promise. But you know, the commitment that it calls for. It's like what we talked about when you come up to a brick wall and, well, what you want is on the other side. There's a tree, there's a little bit of rocks and dirt over here, but it's a pretty tall wall. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to get over it. Am I going to need a tree? I'm going to try to scale the dirt and then jump. I'm going to get some help from the passerby. All I know is I want to get over this wall. If you really, really want to get, you're going to do it. You're really committed. You take off your backpack and sling it over first. There goes your food, your money, your wallet, and this part you really can understand. Your iPhone is on the other side of the wall. I'm totally going over. You see, because it's a difference between 99% I'm going to go versus 100% I'm going. Even though I'm still on this side, my iPhone's on the other side. My whole life is on the other side. I'm going. You feel the difference, right? You feel the difference? This is the kind of commitment of the difference between belief and faith. There is a very powerful, you're tapping into some isness, some certainty with eternal. That this sentence, this paragraph is pointing to, that this does exist, that the truth does exist, and you have access to it. And it's so the valuable thing that you've always wanted, that if you don't use it, you'll get nothing. Any Bible scholars in here? Bible scholars, study the Bible a lot?
Not a lot.
No? You guys remember this very dicey little parable that it says, to him who has, more shall be given. To him who has little, little shall be given. To him who has none, the little he has will be taken. You guys remember that?
No.
Would you realize that's what we're talking about right now?
This is exactly what Misako said, though. This is exactly, and I wrote it down, say it again, Misako. To have everything and, nothing makes everything possible and everything makes nothing possible. This is exactly the same thing. That if you choose God, you have everything. If you don't, you have nothing.
And because of what you are in truth, if you choose nothing, you will now be more hungry for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You will be more and more embracing of God the less you have God. Course says you
wait,
not,
say that again?
You only have, Course says you only have so much tolerance for pain. He says you're being here in a body and struggling to prevent death and loss and trying to, it's very painful, it's difficult. You only have, he says, don't worry. You only have so much tolerance for this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you will seek for the is. And say, I want the truth. I want to let go of the valueless. You know, the alcoholics have this saying of hitting bottom. And there's a march into destruction with the drug. Lose the job, lose the second marriage. Your kids won't talk to you. You can't remember where your car keys are, even though you have a car. So, may as well not have a car. Down you go. Down you go. Hitting bottom. The further you get away from living a competent, peaceful life, the people who don't think, the more you'll appreciate having your car keys where you can find them. Being able to wake up in your own house.
But until you understand what that feels like, it always feels like the opposite to you. So, you know, until you understand what it feels like to be in the truth and to choose God, it feels like to go down that road is almost choosing nothing rather than choosing everything. When you choose that road, that path, or that mind space, you get everything.
It seems like choosing the drug
is
freedom. That is freedom. That's me being the Son of God, getting stone drunk, whatever, today. So it is, right? It's arguably very free. Yeah. However, isn't it really a negative freedom instead of a positive freedom?
Not for me, it's not. I'm not sure how you're... Maybe I'm seeing it different.
Because the negative freedom is a freedom involved, all right, but it is destructive and it takes away the things that you actually value. The things you really value...
It controls you. It's not eternal.
It's not... That's right, you're going in a path that you can't keep up, for starters.
We're talking about... I'm talking about something different. You're
talking about everything.
Because what I see is eternal.
Yeah, hitting bottom is... So I'm talking about hitting bottom.
Oh, okay.
And the mindset of you're running toward the bottom, it looks like, only because you're drinking so much, out of this great sense of freedom. It's actually very destructive, and it's not eternal. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm.
Could you say what you were talking about?
Well, I'm thinking, I just, it's a kind of more of a feeling or a sense that I have, that when I know that I am choosing truth, then my world opens up and I have a lot more freedom than when I am, other than when I choose to hang on to the things of this world, my world is very constricting, and I have a lot less of power and a lot less of me. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, it's totally the other way. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so here we're talking about something so simple as to more power, less power. It's that simple. How do you know it, Wendy? How do you know when you're thinking with the Holy Spirit?
Because you feel at peace.
You actually feel.
That's a barometer.
There's a barometer there. There really is a guide. Peace. Does everybody know what it feels like to be angry, lost, worthless? Yeah. It's not peaceful.
Yeah.
You know, you got that one down? You practice enough? You got enough practice, you really know it. Oh, okay. So peace is actually really easy to distinguish. So maybe this paragraph might be true. You could actually follow it if you just knew how to choose the value of all in every situation instead of the value less. It just promised you could. Now we're ready for the next paragraph.
First, if you choose a thing that will not last forever, what you choose is valueless.
Period. Take a moment. Those are regular English words, and there's no interpretation to be made. It's just black and white. This book comes right out. You just get a little bold here. That's why you gotta lock the door. Mm-hmm. Course in Miracles doesn't. It doesn't use really a lot of symbolism. It really means what it says pretty much. There are some metaphors, okay, sure. But when it says every or never, it means it. You can take a bank it. My experience in this book, I don't know, 24 years ago, it really does mean exactly what it says. And the further you can move your mind in this direction, you wake up to the mystery. And it becomes less of a mystery. You get a feel. You know, a feeling wakes up. Mm-hmm. So, would you please read that? Easy to read right past and say, well, that doesn't mean that. Go, read it anyway. Read it again.
First, if you choose a thing that will not last forever, what you choose is valueless.
Whew. I think you could take that into meditation and really get a feel.
Like love with a little L, money, job, status, car, anything.
Amazingly so. And it says it couched in 900 pages of talking. And he says, look, here's where we're really going, okay? And if you're with me, we're going to go all through this, too. Good night, Carol. Okay, let's continue.
A temporary value is without all value.
You know, whenever A Course in Miracles makes a metaphysical statement, usually he takes his hammer out and he drives the nail flat four times in a row, usually three or four times. So here, watch how he says the exact same thing over and over again. Go ahead, next.
A temporary value is without all value. Time can never take away a value that is real. What fades and dies was never there.
Bang, 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 bang.
And makes no offering to him who chooses it. He is deceived by nothing in a form he thinks he likes.
And that explains, I'm sorry what I thought you were saying, but that explains the trip down to the bottom of the drug user. They're deceived in a form you think you like, but it's offering nothing of value, and ultimately people not like it.
I understand what this is saying, but then, you know, I mean, relationships don't last forever. I mean, you're going to die.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, your wife, your pet.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
So does that mean that my parrot that I love is half?
He had to work at that too. He said wife first and then the pet.
Yeah, the parrot is more important.
Then the parrot's
obviously.
The last.
Obviously.
Obviously.
But you still love your parrot.
Yeah.
I can hear it.
That's right.
Even though it's
gone. No, it's still here. But it, you know, they only last 40 years or so.
Oh, I thought he had died.
40 or 50.
That's wow. Awesome. Than most animals do 40.
Most marriages,
years.
Too.
But there's no, there's no death. There's no death.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, so we're eternal just because we're not in form and a content, something that you can see. We are eternal. There's no death.
So, yeah, it's a real crux here. You know, what is this? What is there anything valuable? I mean, it ends. You know, love of the parrot or the wife. If the wife ends physically.
Well, actually, though, you know, when a person dies, you still love them.
But you still love them.
Yeah.
You still love them. In fact, when the person was still alive, and they were 10 years from their death, but they were in another city or town or house or room, you couldn't see them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you still love them.
Yeah.
They're a whole different, can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting little indicator. Of what's true about that relationship.
You could love a job, you know.
Yes. Yes, yes.
I love
so
some
it's
jobs.
Talking about things like things
yes.
that are
mm-hmm.
that have no soul, things
yes.
that mm-hmm. are valueless in that into spiritual soul.
Well, let's say with a job. You could love a job.
You could love a job. You could mm-hmm. you know, you could not have the job anymore and think, you know, remember what it was like to have had that job and still love that job and still exist
and
in a sense.
Feel a job that is long over,
mm-hmm.
you can still feel what it's like to do that cool job.
Yeah.
Feel it. So it is as present now as when you were actually doing that cool job.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, talks about that in chapter 21. Goes the present memory. We think memories are the past. We get busted in this book about the power that's being used. Feel to be appears to be so hinged on the past. No, that power is present. Asako.
Oh, so I just want to extend to what you're saying. I love that, the truth. I just love that. So the what's valuable is of metaphysical nature. Because in the world mm-hmm. of their appearances, these are all effects.
Mm-hmm. Very good, effects.
Absolutely mm-hmm. meaningless. Mm-hmm.
That poses an effect of the periodic table stuff assembled. It's an effect. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Uncle. Yes, very metaphysical, right? Now it becomes very simple. And we see it's an effect of. Good. Perfect. Good. Okay, well that nicely brings us to tonight's reading. Page 401 in chapter 19. Front of the book now. The first time that we get to 401. And look at this paragraph now. You know, the reason why I jumped back there is because I realize we only have 10 minutes left, and I promised the group we'd return the page. So, okay, enough of that talk.
And you're committed.
Okay, all right. I'm committed. Okay, so, well, I think you're up. We read for us paragraph 16.
Oh, okay. Let, then, your dedication be to the eternal, and learn how not to interfere with it and make it slave to time. For what you think you do to the eternal, you do to you, whom God created as his son, is slave to nothing, being lord of all, along with his creator. You can enslave a body, but an idea is free, incapable of being kept in prison or limited in any way, except by the mind that thought it. for it remains joined to its source, which is its jailer or its liberator, according to which it chooses as a purpose for itself.
Okay, we're going to unpack that a little bit, and we're going to continue with Mark's comment about this loved one who died. And it's going to answer, we have some answers buried here for you for that, too. Okay, first we'll start off with, let your dedication be to the eternal. Just like lesson 133 walks us through separating the valuable from the valueless, it puts it right there. If it doesn't last forever, well, it's actually not valuable. In the discussion we're having now, as you get to a spiritual identity, as you recognize that you are that extension of God that came out in the shake, extension of God's consciousness, well, God's eternal and all loving. Well, shake off the time-based stuff. It's obviously not true. Oh, good. That was easy. Let not then your dedication be to the eternal, and learn how not to interfere with the eternal, and make the eternal Son of God, the eternal thought of God, the extension of God, the extension of love that is from love, made out of love. This is God now extending itself to do what? To love. So don't mess with that. By putting it in time, by putting ends on it.
Don't corrupt that file.
Don't corrupt that. Exactly. Let love be love.
Love this.
And the way we do that, this is.
Love it.
What is the perspective of Christ's vision?
Eternity.
Eternity. The eternal nature of all things is seen. It's seen. And then love is still what it is. Thank you, Brian. Okay? Now, for what you think you do to the eternal, you do to you. Fool. Don't you know it's your love? Were you to limit and think of limits? Because of what you are, you're actually trying to limit the eternal. Now that's just not going to work out for you. Eternal continues, no matter what. Right? Always. Always. Good. Good. It's a mystery how it's so strong. Right? Whom God created as His Son, capital letters, a slave to nothing, being Lord of all, along with His Creator. Well, you can enslave a body. In fact, enslaving a body with shackles of time works great for the purpose the body was made. It really works. Brilliant idea, Brian. You know, it was tough before at the time, but once you put the body that dies... Now, everything about the body is more important. The nutrition, and its comfort, and... oh, God, yeah. Time works great for enslaving the body, and... proving separation. It's true. Separation is the big drug, okay? You got oneness, and you got not oneness. That's the whole spectrum of... And only one of those is true. If you're going to execute this dream of separation, this time thing and the body thing together, oh yeah. The time and space, you can start getting drunk on that dream. Oh, that drug takes hold fast and deep. And sickness of the body that lasts a long time, it really sucks and proves you're not loved. Proves you're not extension of perfection. This is why we're studying it tonight. To bust what we think is so true.
To prove God is wrong and that we're right.
That's right. Now we're going to prove God is right and we're wrong. Because everybody just described eternal. And if you can take it, this feeling the power up the staircase, the peace that comes, if you're okay with the mystery and it feels good, follow it. More peace comes. More certainty comes. You can handle the difficult times because you charged your batteries for it. Okay. You can enslave a body, but an idea, see, is free, incapable even of being kept in prison or limited in any way. An idea is so free by the mind that thought the idea. Except by the mind that thought the idea. Well, there's the fine print in the Course in Miracles again. You, it's calling you an idea, a mind of God. And now, as we learn in chapter 28, the thing you see in the mirror, that's not you actually. The thing in the mirror, even though you wave and it waves back exactly the same time. It's not actually you, according to this book. What's happened is, with the power of mind, the power of creation, you've had a dream. And inside that dream, you have characters. And you've called yourself one of the characters. And you use the other characters that you also made with the mind to describe you. You listen to other people to find out if you're okay. It's natural, isn't it? The book says this is the way you've made layers of the onion. And you're in the middle. And this sentence captures that. Yes, Brian.
And this is one of the radical things in the Course. We can read it. We can read right over it. But it says again, I'll read it again here, is that you can enslave a body, but an idea is free. So, we are not a body. We are an idea. And Soka?
Masako.
Masako, thank you. As you said,
she's the alive wife. The wife is still living.
Okay, good. In our frame of reference in the world, an idea is nothing. Yes. And in the Course, that's what we are. It's everything. Mm-hmm. And what is your identity? The body, or is an idea? It's right there.
Right there. Right there.
And you know that idea. It's so simple, it is so pure, that this busy mind, it's very difficult to embody and realize that. It's too damn simple. But, you know,
Andrew, there is. It's our consciousness, that's our God. Andrew,
yes.
So I'm sitting here tonight, and my back is really bothering me,
yes.
And my legs are uncomfortable, and I've been sitting all day, and my body is not comfortable.
Yes.
So I'm very aware of my body, and my body tethers me to the everything.
Yes.
But in my mind, I know that I have this eternal undescribable part of me that is not my body, so I know that for sure.
Yes.
So that's
yes.
the way I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. This is the one proper use of separation. This is a quote from the book. This is one proper use of separation, is to separate you from your ego, from your body, being what you are. It's the proper use of separation. You just said it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. From that comes great strength. And that becomes a orientation toward truth. Mm-hmm. And that also gives the body a lesser purpose. It also means you don't fit in your body, ultimately.
And that travels into everything. So it travels not just in your body, but in every circumstance that comes in life. That is uncomfortable, you know you're not part of that circumstance, and then it really is nothing. And the only thing that is real is this undescribable presence that is you.
This is so important to be able to have a feeling, an anchor of some type in the undescribable. It's so important to have some kind of anchor in the undescribable. As it says, way back in chapter 9, I think it is, it says, you can't know an insane thought system from inside the thought system. If you're all about body thoughts and body world and making the body better to be happy, you can't have this transcendence, ascendance, or enlightenment from what is so dark. This is a result of you having traveled beyond your body. Thank you for sharing it with us. And nobody can take that away ever, ever, ever. It's part of your realization of your spirit nature, of your spirit identity. It's yet more true tonight. And for every time you have that thought, and you get a sense of peace with that thought, that's what makes it known to be true. Because it has the one quality you can find with your mind in this crazy chaotic world that indicates that the truth is you're on the right path. Well, thank you, Kim.
And the longer I'm in touch with it, I hate to keep saying stuff, but sometimes it just kind of pours out of me, but the longer I'm in touch with that, the more permanent it becomes with me. And there's a knowing that I can almost be incapable of, and it's not to say I won't, and I don't, because I do, but I'm almost incapable of making a decision that's going to destroy that. I know I can't. Yes. It's impossible.
Because it's the truth.
You feel certainty in her?
Yeah.
You remember we talked about, what was 2 weeks ago? Talking about grace? Remember our grace discussion? Well, you're imperturbable when you're truly graceful. When you've got the, when grace has arrived and you're playing a song and you miss a string, you kind of bend the next note and you catch up and the song's okay.
Yeah.
It works. It actually is kind of a style. People like when you do that thing.
Yeah.
When you're skiing and there's something in the way, you know what? There's no stopping skiing suddenly, you know, gracefully. When grace is with you, guess what? You do the little flip thing. You do a little flip, turn, mogul move right around the little kid or that little boarder that's sitting on his butt with the board in the air. You just whoop, there you go. It's part of your move. Gracefulness happens with a wonderful sense of ability. But it wasn't that way on day one.
Oh, God, no.
Now it's eternal. You see? The power that you've tapped on, that power is eternal.
Mm-hmm. No, nothing makes sense on day one.
Let's have a circle.
Take a deep breath. You're already on the eternal journey. And for those few of us who think that eternity could be really boring, and I don't really want eternality. And there are, right? It's true. You're already on the eternal journey, and it is made out of love. The eternal journey is awakening to the qualities that are made by love. The purpose, you see, of your true journey, not the little limited one that ends in a pile of dust with a few tubes sticking out of your mouth. Not that one. That's not the journey. No. The one that's made of love is actually a beautiful, perfect extension of love. And its purpose is to love. That's the eternal journey. Course in Miracles says, chapter 4, it says, teach. Now, that's what you do, you teach. That's how you do it, is what you do. Mm-hmm. That's how you teach, by what you actually commit to. Mm-hmm. Teach only love, but that's what you are, in truth. And were you to actually be honest real honesty as consistency? Were you actually to reflect what you're made of? Love. By being love. For the purpose of loving. You can figure that one out. It's an easy, beautiful road. That is made of all the things that you truly seek. That you truly seek. Truth seeks itself. Eternally. Thank you, Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah.